The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. We are going back to the Côte d'Aron and technical director with Maison Brott. It is Christine Brott and her son Thibaut who will be doing the translation because their English is still far better than my French. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for choosing us, and we are very happy to answer to your question.
Let's get started here. I'd first love to just hear more about your family history. I believe five generations of winemaking.
Yes, I am the fifth generation. So both of my great grandfathers were farmers. They were growing vines, one in Châteauneuf-du-Pape and the other one in Kéran. So one from my mother's side and the other one from my father's side.
I'd love if you could ask your mother this. Okay. What are the notes of a classic, well-made Côte d'Aron? What should people be looking for?
Quelles sont les notes, les caractéristiques d'un classique Côte d'Aron? Et à quoi les gens s'attendent quand ils achètent un Côte d'Aron rouge?
Donc déjà, pour moi, un Côte d'Aron, c'est un vin rond, fruité, aromatique, sur des fruits rouges frais. Et c'est typé quand même Grenache, bien Grenache, parce que c'est vraiment... et la tendance sur ces Côtes du Rhône maintenant, ce que le consommateur attend, c'est beaucoup plus de fraîcheur. C'est des vins plus légers, avec moins d'alcool. C'est vrai qu'aujourd'hui, ce qu'il recherche aussi, le consommateur, c'est des vins de qualité en Côte du Rhône. Il ne va pas acheter forcément des premiers prix. Il recherche quelque chose qui est bien fait, voilà, tout en restant des vins souples, qui sont accessibles, avec moins de puissance, mais un bel équilibre entre fraîcheur et fruits.
So two words will be quality and Grenache. So for my mother, Grenache is the king grape in the Rhône Valley. So people are looking for Grenache when they are buying a red Côte du Rhône. So they are looking for roundness, for freshness, for fruitiness, and they are looking for a quality wine.
What is it about Grenache that makes it such a special grape in that area?
Qu'est-ce qui fait que le Grenache est une super variété qui s'épanouit bien dans cette région?
Bah parce qu'il fait très chaud, c'est déjà par rapport au climat. Ensuite, il apporte beaucoup de rondeur, il supporte quand même les étés chauds, c'est ce qu'on a nous aussi de plus en plus dans notre région. Et c'est vrai que le Grenache, il résiste parfaitement. Il n'a pas forcément besoin d'énormément d'eau. Il est bien en place dans notre région, quoi.
Okay, so the Grenache is for now a grape which is adapted to our region. We have a Mediterranean climate with very hot summers and dry summers and cold winters, and so the Grenache can live and can be good with those conditions. It begins to need water, but from the past to now, the Grenache can be great without water.
Okay, so it works well in some of the hotter regions. It doesn't require a ton of moisture. I'm curious, Thibaut, if you can ask your mother. She had this quote where she said, "Wine quality and customer knowledge are key to us. From generation to generation, we have passed on and improved our know-how." I'm curious how different a winemaker Christine is now versus when she started over a decade ago.
Okay, so Une demande, tu as dit qu'on améliorait la qualité d'année en année et il est curieux de savoir qu'est-ce qui a changé par rapport au moment où tu as commencé il y a une dizaine d'années.
On fait beaucoup plus attention à la maturité du raisin. On apporte un soin bien précis, on déguste régulièrement, pas tous les jours, mais pratiquement quand il fait très chaud parce que ça évolue rapidement. Il faut ramasser au bon moment, de préférence le matin, quand c'est encore frais, pour que ce soit plus facile en vinification également. Il faut garder la fraîcheur avant tout. Et c'est vrai que ça, c'est très important. Je pense qu'il faut vraiment... Alors qu'avant, moi, quand j'ai commencé il y a 20 ans, il n'y avait pas, on n'apportait pas autant de soins sur le suivi des parcelles, de la qualité du raisin. Maintenant, c'est vraiment très important. Alors que ce soit pour le grenache, mais pour la Syrah également, pour le Mourvèdre, on suit cépage par cépage. Et c'est vrai que le contrôle de la maturité, c'est primordial. Le ramassage des raisins, la vendange, le jour J, il faut y aller. Okay. C'est très important. Oui, après, c'est vrai qu'on a en vinification, en élevage, on apporte aussi un passage quelquefois en fût ou en amphore ou en cuve béton. On apporte beaucoup plus de complexité. On assemble.
Qu'est-ce qui a changé par rapport à avant?
Avant, il n'y avait pas tout. Il y a 10 ans, c'était il y a 10, 20 ans, c'était le début de l'élevage en fût. Il y avait une demande du consommateur. Ils voulaient vraiment des vins très boisés. Maintenant, on veut plus l'expression du cépage qui ressorte. Donc, il n'y a pas forcément un passage en bois tout le temps systématique. Ou alors, c'est un assemblage avec des cuves béton, un élevage en cuve béton. On recherche beaucoup plus l'expression du cépage. Donc, on n'a pas forcément d'artifice autour de ça. On va le passer en amphore, ça garde la fraîcheur, ou en cuve béton. C'est garder la fraîcheur et le cépage qui s'exprime totalement. Avant, on masquait beaucoup parce qu'on n'avait pas une maturité optimale.
Christine said that what's changed from when she started is there is two key points. So the first one is the maturity of the grapes. So we care more and more about when to harvest. We really want to harvest at the best time. So we taste grapes every day in order to harvest at the right moment. And the second one is the aging. So 10 years ago, we used to use a lot of oak. And now we are using less and less oak. We are using now concrete, stainless. We are using some amphores in order to keep the real taste of each grape.
What are the dangers of too much oak when it comes to making wines in your area?
Quels sont les dangers d'utiliser trop de bois dans notre région?
Ben pour moi, ça masque vraiment, ça prend le dessus et ça masque le cépage, le vin en lui-même. Quoi. On a beaucoup trop. Il faut que ce soit. Je dis pas, je suis pas contre complètement le passage en barrique, mais il faut que ce soit bien maîtrisé. À mon avis, pas sur toute la cuvée, parce qu'autrement, il faut aussi faire très attention au chauffe de bois qu'on va choisir. Alors, c'est toujours du chêne français, mais il faut faire attention à la chauffe, que ça s'adapte bien au grenache. Mais le grenache a un côté un peu oxydatif, et c'est vrai que le passage en fût, pour moi, n'est pas recommandé. Ça serait plutôt la Syrah qu'on va passer en fût.
Qu'est-ce qu'on risque donc sur le grenache?
Et sur le grenache, c'est avoir, si on le passe en fût, c'est avoir des, il va évoluer beaucoup trop vite, il va avoir des notes évoluées et c'est pas ce qu'on recherche du tout. La Syrah va beaucoup mieux le supporter. La Syrah s'exprime parfaitement en passage en fût, mais voilà, il faut du fût et toujours en parallèle, il faut de la cuve.
Okay, okay. She said that the Grenache doesn't match very well with the oak because it's an oxidative. I don't know if it's good in English. It's an oxidative grape. So you can have aromas of evolution really fast. But she doesn't say that. We don't use any oak, and oak is not good. So oak has to be used with the attention. And regarding to us, we use oak only on the Syrah grape, which is doing okay with the oak. And if I come back, sorry, on the Grenache. When we use oak with the Grenache, we use very old oak. So we have some century old oak cask, so big barrels, from 5,000 to 6,000 liters. So very old. They have been bought by my great grandfather, and before they were used for beer. So they don't give any more cookie flavors. But they give roundness and they give smoothness and they keep the aromatic and they keep the freshness of the Grenache grape.
Yeah, that's one theme I'm getting through all of this is just the importance of freshness. We can go back there. Actually, a question for both of you guys. I was thinking of asking this. What's it like working together as a family? What's it like all working together making wine? Thibaut, I'd like to get your thoughts and your mom's, obviously.
So we are a good team. So there is not only us. So there is also my father, Laurent, and my brother, Benoit. So we are like two little teams. My brother, Benoit, and my mother, Christine, they are managing and they are doing all the production activities. So they are doing winemaking, the blending, the aging, the buying, the bottling. And with my father, Laurent, we do all the sales and marketing. So we are two teams and each team has a lot of work and has something to do and knows very well what she has to do. So for now, because we've been working together for 6-7 years now, everything is good. Yeah,
good. That's awesome. That must be this really nice feeling of family when you're all on the same goal. But now I have to ask this other question that everyone's wondering: what was the last family fight you guys got into over wine?
Okay, I'm gonna ask because I don't remember. Quelle était la dernière dispute qu'on a eue au sein de la famille, mais par rapport à notre travail?
En général, on n'a pas vraiment. On n'a pas vraiment des disputes. On a beaucoup d'échanges. Alors, parce que les jeunes, eux, ils ont toute la fougue, ils ont plein d'idées et ça part dans tous les sens. Après, ils sont très motivés, très enthousiastes, alors que ce soit pour créer des nouvelles cuvées. Et nous, on a plutôt le côté, enfin, quand je parle nous, c'est mon mari et moi, plutôt le côté, on analyse, on pense à notre expérience, on essaie de leur dire, il faut y aller doucement, il faut bien réfléchir, il faut... Donc, c'est vrai que c'est constructif parce que chacun de son côté, et nous, on réfléchit à ce qu'ils nous ont dit en se disant, c'est vrai que...
Tu ne passes plus quoi, en fait, je ne peux pas traduire.
Ah, d'accord. Oui, c'est des échanges constructifs entre votre envie de faire de nouvelles cuvées, de développer, et nous, notre expérience où on a plus de réflexion, mais après, chacun de que ce soit papa et moi ou toi, on y réfléchit. Et on arrive toujours à trouver un compromis pour...
Il n'y a pas de dispute en tête. Non, OK. Well, we didn't... I and my mother, neither. I remember like a fight that we had, but we often have discussion. And so it's a good blend to have two generation because we have the motivation with my brother and we have the capacity to do something very very fast and to take a decision very very fast while my father's they they have the experience, and they have more reflection. So I don't know if you understood what I said.
Yeah, they're more conservative. You guys want to be moving a mile a minute, and then your father's like, all right, just slow down.
Yeah. Slow down. And maybe I get one example. So it's not about Côte du Rhône. It's about it's about Châteauneuf-du-Pape. We had a long discussion because we choose to not produce our top cuvée on 2021 vintage. So we have two high-end cuvées. And we had a long discussion, and we decided to not produce them in 2021 vintage because the quality was not there for us. So we took the decision to not produce it and to just jump to 2022 vintage. And that was a long discussion because between me and my brother, because I wanted to produce it because I am from the sales side, and I have customers for this cuvée. And my brother Benoit, which is from the production side, was fighting for the quality, and he told me that this is our top cuvée. We cannot ship. We cannot sell this to our customers because this is not the quality they are waiting for.
That is tough. I mean, economically, you know, not selling Châteauneuf-du-Pape, that's going to hurt you financially. Does the juice then? Where does that juice go? Does it go into your Côte du Rhône? Does it? What happens to the wine that you've made?
So we made two cuvées on the estate. So we made like the secret Barville, and we make, that's the high-end cuvée, the special one, and we make the Domaine Barville. So we didn't make the secret Barville 2021, mm-hmm. and we just used the juice to produce the classic one.
Okay, all right. I'd be curious, and for you and for your mother, Christine, about this one. The winery was certified international featured standards for food, which guarantee for food security and sales service quality, and the company, you know, using with local suppliers to ensure the right price for them. I this is something I haven't heard that much about the importance of food security, and I was wanting to hear a little bit more about that.
That's a certification. It's a guarantee for our customers, and that's.
Alors l'IFS en fait c'est vraiment une garantie de sécurité alimentaire et la qualité du service. Donc c'est vrai que ça on l'a toujours pratiqué.
Pour.
Ouais. Donc on a voulu être certifié par rapport à notre clientèle. Et en fait, ça nous a permis de formaliser l'IFS, de formaliser tout ce que nous avons toujours pratiqué dans notre entreprise. Et après, c'est plus simple.
The IFS certification is a guarantee for our customers. This has allowed us to formalize what we have always done in the company. We work with many local winemakers. And for some of them, for several generations, we have like a very long-term partnership and a trust relation between us and them. For example, for large volume, our Lafiole Côte du Rhône and our Esprit Côte du Rhône. So Lafiole is at the LCBO and at the SAQ, we provide them with specification and carry out regular visits to monitor the evolution of our wine. And some of them are also IFS certified. We also concern about environmental changes. So we've launched two years ago, what we call a CSR policy, which has different level for the preservation of the environment.
Yeah.
And so we limit our travel around the world. We do many things to optimize the use of resources such as water, fuel, electricity. We also reduced our pollution. So we do a lot of sorting, and we recycle a lot of things that are used at the bottling facility. And we've developed what we call the eco conception of our wines. For example, from 2022 to 2023, we switch from a classic bottle to a lightweight bottle.
Yeah, I saw that. I got the Friol, and it is a different sort of bottle. Actually, we'll talk about that in a second, because I want to get people to know a little bit about the Côte de Rhône they can get at the LCBO from you guys. But okay. I'm curious for Christine, just when it comes to women working in the wine world and in Côte de Rhône, where is it right now when it comes to women working in positions of power? Where is it? How many women now versus, say, 20, 30 years ago? Part of the reason for this podcast is to highlight women in positions of power who are making a difference.
Oui, c'est ça. OK, so quels sont le rôle, la place des femmes aujourd'hui dans le monde du vin, et plus particulièrement en Vallée du Rhône?
Les femmes, elles sortent de l'ombre, je dirais. Jusqu'à présent, elles travaillaient certainement derrière leur mari, mais n'apparaissaient jamais. Maintenant, elles font leurs preuves, parce que ça reste quand même un milieu encore bien masculin. Mais on avance, et la nouvelle génération, moi, j'ai qu'une fille, mais les filles en général, elles foncent, elles ne se posent pas tout. Beaucoup de questions, elles veulent faire leurs preuves, et elles sont aussi performantes dans les vignes qu'en cave, en commercialisation, et elles ont beaucoup d'avenir, elles sont de plus en plus nombreuses sur beaucoup de domaines, on les voit, et elles apportent ce côté féminin dans l'assemblage qui est délicat, élégant, et c'est vrai que ça se remarque dans le vin. Moi, je vois quand on déguste avec mon fils, quand on fait des assemblages, c'est vrai que chacun va apporter quelque chose. Et on ne va pas toujours... Moi, j'aime bien les fins élégants sur la finesse. Lui, il aime bien quand même qu'il y a une... Alors, ça ne veut pas dire que je n'aime pas la structure, mais lui, il aimera un vin qui est plus dur, qui est plus... Et c'est vrai que ça, le côté féminin, je trouve que c'est important. Je vois par exemple ma fille Jeanne, qui n'est pas du tout dans des études sur le vin. Elle vient de terminer des études de droit, mais elle a quand même cette passion du vin, et elle veut connaître chaque étape de ce produit quand même qui est magique. Et donc régulièrement, elle a travaillé dans les vignes, elle a voulu apprendre à tailler. Et là, actuellement, elle est partie en Australie pour faire les vendanges. Donc, je pense qu'elle va faire un peu son chemin après dans le droit, mais elle va nous rejoindre parce que c'est quelque chose qui l'anime, quoi. C'est ancré, quoi.
So, Christine, that there is more and more women in the wine business and in our region, and she said that the taste of women is different than the taste of men. And what we do when we do our blending is that we always taste with Christine against my brother Benoit or our winemaker Cyril, in order to make something which is balanced. And she said also that we have like I didn't spoke about my sister, because she's not working with us, but I also have one sister who studied law, and but she's passionate about wine, and she wants to know more about wine. So she has always been working in the vineyard and in the winery during the holidays, but she wanted to know more about wine. So she graduated last year, this year, and she just left home, She's now in Australia for the harvest because she wants to learn about more about wine, and we are sure that she will come to work with us in the future. So that's to say that women are the wine business, the wine industry is attractive also for women now.
By the way, that is fascinating. I didn't even think about it from the blending perspective of that men and women, there could be some differences in how we taste. That's in some ways, that's very valuable just to get all these different perspectives on what's going on in the blending versus if you only were dominated by one perspective.
Yeah, and we always, when we taste, when we blend, there is always two people and always one woman, one girl in the team.
This is such a family organization, yeah. A family business. Yeah. How important is it for you guys to continue to improve your winemaking so that when you give it to the next generation of your children, that they'll be able to continue and to build on what you've done?
That's our aim. This is our goal. So we want to pass down to the next generation. So my mother and my brother are going to retire soon, I mean in 4 to 5 years. And with my brother Benoit, we want to pass this winery to our children. So this is what makes us very very motivated, and this is why we work a lot every day. This is transmission is our goal, and to transmit this winery in good condition, we have to invest in the quality. So we have to try new things every year in order to improve this quality. We have to find new customers, and we have to invest in marketing. We have to.
Christine, what are you going to do when you retire? Working in wine takes so much time. What are you going to do with your free time?
Qu'est-ce que tu vas faire quand tu seras retraité?
Bon, c'est pas de suite, mais je vais profiter de mes petits-enfants, que j'en ai qu'un pour l'instant, qui est tout petit, et j'ai pas le temps d'en profiter. Et je vais pas avoir d'horaire, surtout. Je vais faire du jardinage, je vais me balader. Il y a plein de choses que je ne fais pas à la maison parce qu'en fait, on est au travail, quoi, principalement. Et donc là, ça sera une retraite tranquille, sans horaire et profiter que du bonheur, quoi. Avoir mes enfants régulièrement et surtout profiter de mes petits-enfants et voyager.
She will take care of her kids. And also of the grandkids. Okay for you, grandkids?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And for she will do gardening because she likes gardening a lot and she doesn't have time to do it. And she will also enjoy. She said that she will enjoy life without like time schedule things every day.
Of course. One thing I've learned doing this podcast, when you work in wine, you don't really have time for many other things. We only have a couple minutes left. I'm going to give my own review of it, but people can find at the SAQ and at the LCBO, the Côte de Rhône, and I'll mispronounce it, the Fiore. What should people expect from this wine?
Qu'est-ce que les gens doivent attendre de la Fiole Côte du Rhône rouge, si on devait la décrire, si je la décrire en quelques mots?
Alors, c'est un vin fruité, souple, rond, à boire barbecue, à boire avec des amis, quelque chose un vin convivial, de plaisir. Je dirais avec beaucoup de fruits, c'était pas.
It's a wine with a lot of freshness, fruitiness. It's a round wine. It's the expression of the Grenache from the Southern Rhone Valley. It will goes very well with friends, with the barbecue, with some roasted meats. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure wine.
This is a cheesy way to end this, but it was a pleasure to meet you, Thibaut. It was a pleasure to meet you as well, Christine. I think it's what you guys are doing. It's a great story, a family story for over five generations. and all the work you are doing organically and all the work you are doing to help with the environment is so cool. And nothing but congratulations to the two of you. And thank you guys very much for being part of the podcast today.
Yeah, thank you very much
thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much for this podcast, and I hope you will understand all that I said. And Christine is sorry to not speak, not being able to speak English.
No need to apologize. Wait. We're in Canada. My French should be way better. Your English is fantastic. I think this is a cool way to do the podcast because. If people, obviously, I can see you on the video and the passion and the moments just watching Christine, even if I can't understand all the words, the emotion there and just how much pride you guys take. I want the listeners to know it absolutely comes through. I can't wait to try the wine. Thank you guys again so much. And for everyone, thank you for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.